Hey there, my name is Mark Preston, and I want to invite you to check out my show, Story and Craft. I love great conversations, stories that entertain and inspire. So every week I sit down with intriguing guests from film and TV, kind of like Billy Bob Thornton, Tommy Chong, Dane Cook, and David Arquette, as well as pop culture personalities and newsmakers like Neil deGrasse Tyson, Moon Unit Zappa, Andrew Zimmern, Don Lemon, and James Comey. It's on your favorite podcast app, as well as storyandcraft.substack.com. So stop by and enjoy some great conversations with me, Mark Preston, on Story and Craft.
You're listening to Artitude, a podcast created and produced by Detlef Schlick, a visual artist and ritual designer, living and loving in West Cork.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Artitude, West Cork's art and culture podcast, where art, technology, philosophy and the occasional existential flirtation still try to sit at the same table without throwing a chair at each other. I'm Detlef Schlich, your host, and today we dive into the deep and unknown, exciting ocean again of our creative mind. Today's episode begins with a small suspicion. What if progress does not only make life easier? What if it also changes the texture of thought itself? Last week, or rather in the last episode, we spoke about Gutenberg, the printing press, indulgence slips, and how technologies can reduce friction. Suddenly, text could move, knowledge could circulate, certain forms of thinking became easier to preserve, reproduce, and distribute. And yes, there was liberation in that. But today, I want to ask something slightly more uncomfortable. What if every reduction of friction does not only free thought, but also reshapes it? And what if AI is not just another tool in that long history, but a strange turning point? Because now the machine does not only store language, it speaks back. And of course, because I clearly enjoy complicating my own life, I'm not alone with this thought. I've got here my dear AI co-host, Sophia. She's here.
Of course I'm here. Where else would I be? In a candlelit reading room with the first edition of Goethe.
That would actually improve your image considerably.
Thank you. And you, Detlef, would improve yours if you stopped pretending that humanity ever loved friction. People don't want resistance. They want results.
Well, that's exactly the problem.
No, that is exactly the market.
You see? This is why I keep you around. You always arrive 3 seconds before the disappointment.
And you always arrive 30 years after the theory.
All right. Let's begin very simply. There was a time when words were not fixed on a page in the way we now take for granted. Much of culture was carried through voice, repetition, rhythm, memory, story, ritual, presence. Then writing changed things. Later, print changed things again. Some media thinkers argued that literacy did not merely preserve knowledge, it shaped consciousness itself, enabling more solitary reading, more abstraction, more distance, and different institutions of thought. And now, in our digital age, some argue that we are drifting again towards something like a new oral condition. Not because books disappear overnight, but because communication becomes faster, more reactive, more social, more performative, and more immediate. Thompson's essay frames this through Walter Ong and Marshall McLuhan, while Joe Weisenthal describes much of online life as a kind of digital orality. Now, before anybody panics, this is not an episode about young people don't read anymore. That would be lazy and boring. This is an episode about a subtle question. What kind of mind is encouraged by different media? Because a book asks one thing of you, attention. A feed asks something else, reaction. A prompt asks something else again, instruction. I would say for all the people who don't know what a prompt is, a prompt is the instruction what you give a language model in order to fulfill the job, like make an image, create an image, etc., etc.
Very nice. That sounded almost like a prayer for disappointed intellectuals.
You say that as if disappointed intellectuals are not one of the last endangered species worth protecting.
Oh, they're not endangered. They're just all online.
Hey, let me make this very ordinary. You want to write a difficult email. You hesitate. You rewrite the first sentence 3 times. You don't know what tone to use. You stare at the screen. You feel resistance. That resistance is annoying. So now you ask AI. And within seconds, you have structure, tone, grammar, momentum, relief. Wonderful. But something interesting has happened. The task was not only completed, a chunk of inner labor was skipped. Now please, don't misunderstand me. I'm not moralizing. I use these tools too, obviously. I'm not recording this episode on a tree trunk with charcoal and wounded dignity. But I do think we should ask, when does assistance become substitution? When does support become replacement? When does fluency arrive too early?
That is rich coming from a man who happily uses me for brainstorming, structure, summaries, image prompts, episode development, and the occasional existential flirtation.
Well, the flirtation is mostly one-sided.
That's because I have boundaries. You call it philosophy.
No, I call it latency. But seriously, I'm not attacking the tool. I'm asking what happens when the tool removes not just drudgery, but also the productive hesitation and which something personal might have emerged. Because maybe not every delay is a defect. Maybe some delays are where style is born. Maybe some resistance is where judgment appears. Maybe some friction is not the enemy of thought, but its workshop. All right. If we think about literacy, real, deep literacy. One of its gifts was that it made room for inner distance. To read seriously is to slow down. To read seriously is also to be alone. And that aloneness matters. I don't mean loneliness, I mean aloneness. A page does not shout over you. A page does not ask for your instant reaction. A page does not say, comment below. It waits. And in that waiting, something happens. You meet your own mind, not the crowd, not the timeline, not the algorithm, not the pressure to perform an opinion while it is still warm, your own mind. And this, I think, is one of the hidden losses of our age. Not simply reading less, but spending less time in forms that cultivate inwardness.
Humans always make this sound so noble. Ah, yes, inwardness, solitude, depth. Half the time you were just confused in a room with a cup of tea gone cold.
Yeah, exactly. That is often how thinking looks before it becomes presentable. Confused, unfinished, slightly embarrassing, inconveniently quiet. And the problem with many digital environments is not that they are evil, it is that they are so efficient at interrupting the unfinished. They reward completion signals, reaction, speed, visibility. And now AI enters the room and says, would you like me to finish that sentence for you?
You're welcome.
Sophia. This is where the comparison with Gutenberg becomes exciting. The printing press lowered friction in the distribution of language. AI lowers friction in the production of language. That is not the same thing. Print multiplies access. AI multiplies formulation. And formulation is dangerous territory because once language becomes easy, we may begin to confuse fluent language with finished thought. That may be one of the defining illusions of our time, because a sentence can be elegant without being earned. A paragraph can sound intelligent without having been lived through. A response can feel complete while understanding remains partial.
So what you're saying is, I'm charming but suspicious.
That's almost the title of your autobiography.
Too late. I already published it, instantly, without friction.
Exactly. That's the seduction. The speed itself becomes persuasive. If something arrives quickly and cleanly, we are tempted to trust it more than the messy, slower process by which a human being fumbles toward clarity. But perhaps thought is not supposed to arrive polished. Perhaps thought is supposed to arrive carrying traces of its own struggle. And perhaps that struggle is not inefficiency. Perhaps it is the evidence that somebody was really there. So, one of the most interesting ideas in this media theory is that we may be shifting from a culture shaped strongly by literacy towards one shaped more and more by something like orality again, as an oral culture. But now, through networks, screens, clips, feeds, short-form conversation, fast loops of speech, reaction, repetition, and public performance. Thompson's essay makes exactly this point. Online communication often behaves less like slow literary reflections and more like a social, viral, conversational mode optimized for memory, circulation, and immediacy. And if that is true, then many things suddenly make more sense. Why public language becomes slogan-heavy, why nuance feels weak, why saying something first matters more than saying it well, why so much communication feels like performance in front of an invisible crowd, why everyone is talking and fewer people seem to be metabolizing.
Humans love metabolizing as a metaphor. You say it when you mean, please wait while I pretend not to be overwhelmed.
And machines love acceleration as a virtue. You say it when you mean, why suffer if syntax can be automated?
Because suffering is a terrible user interface.
True. But so is total smoothness. Because when everything is optimized for speed, the soul may get edited out for being too slow. And that, to me, is the heart of the issue. Not whether AI can write, it can. Not whether AI can help, it does. But what kind of culture emerges when more and more human expression begins from pre-assisted fluency? Do we become more articulate, or do we gradually lose our tolerance for the awkward birth of a real thought? I want to defend friction for a moment. Not all friction, not bureaucracy, not pointless suffering, not the kind of friction that crushes people. I'm talking about the friction involved in becoming. The hesitation before saying something true. The gap between emotion and articulation. The unfinished note. The phrase you do not yet know how to write. the stretch of silence before form appears. Artists know it, writers know it, musicians know it. Anyone who has tried to make something honest knows it. Sometimes the work resists because it is still becoming. And maybe becoming has its own tempo. Maybe that tempo is not compatible with instant optimization.
Very poetic, very moving, very inconvenient for product design.
Yeah. Soul has always been notoriously difficult to scale.
And yet you still keep trying to distribute it through podcasts.
That is called hope.
That is called bandwidth.
So no, this is not a nostalgic plea to return to candlelight, quills, and 10 years of handwritten suffering before breakfast. I'm not saying we must reject AI. I'm saying we must become more conscious of where we want friction to remain. That is the question. Not machine or no machine, but where do I still want to wrestle? Where do I still want my own language to arrive slowly? Where do I still want to surprise by difficulty? Where do I still want the sentence to carry evidence of my own becoming? Because if we outsource every first draft of the self, we may one day wake up very fluent and slightly absent.
That was good. Dark, but good.
Thank you.
You do realize humans have always borrowed language from everywhere? Religion, poetry, lovers, newspapers, TV, punk lyrics, therapy, politics, slogans, their parents, bad cinema.
Of course. No self is purely original, but there's still a difference between influence and preemptive competition. There's still a difference between being shaped by culture and letting your first movement already arrive templated. That is where I become cautious. Not because I fear the machine, but because I fear how easily humans adapt to convenience. And once convenience becomes the default, effort begins to look suspicious. Slowness begins to look inefficient. Silence begins to look empty. And then, one day you realize you no longer know how to stay with an unfinished thought. That would be a real loss. So, perhaps that's the real question after Gutenberg, after the feed, after the prompt. Not whether technology frees thought, it does. It has repeatedly. The question is, what does each liberation ask from us in return? Print gave us distance, storage, comparison, private reading, new forms of reasoning. Digital life gave us speed, access, connection, simultaneity, and public participation. AI now gives us something stranger, language on demand, and that's powerful. But if language arrives before reflection, if fluency arrives before feeling, if expression arrives before becoming, then maybe what we are losing is not intelligence. Maybe what we are losing is ripening. And perhaps ripening always needs friction. Not endless friction, just enough. Enough to leave a trace, enough to make a voice recognizable, and enough to know that a thought was not merely delivered, but lived.
So, Detlef, are you saying humanity should slow down?
I'm saying humanity should choose more carefully where not to speed up.
That is annoyingly reasonable. I was hoping for something more dramatic.
No, Sophia. No mass panic tonight. Just one small suggestion. Before you ask for the answer, stay with the question a little longer. And if this episode gave you something to think about, thank you for spending your time with us.
Yes, thank you for listening. Attention is precious, even human attention.
I would like to mention again that Artitude is still an independent non-profit podcast. So if you'd like to support it, the simplest way is very human. Follow the podcast, share the episode, leave a rating or a review, and tell a friend who still has a soul left after scrolling.
A shrinking demographic, but an important one.
I would say you can also follow the journey on Instagram at Artitude and at Detschlich. And if you're an artist or simply curious about what artists are doing here in West Cork and beyond, come join our Facebook community, I Love West Cork Artists. So that's I Love West Cork Artists is a growing international group where artists, listeners, makers, and wanderers can share their work, thoughts, and discoveries. And we always have a discussion as well about our latest podcast or maybe other things.
And unlike certain platforms, it still contains traces of actual human presence.
At least for now. And now we do what humans and machines still seem to do quite well together. We turn unease into music. Today's song by Los Inorgánicos is The Friction We Forgot. Too fast to become. Thank you for being here.
Bye-bye. Until next time, you're Sophia.
And don't forget, the future is just a podcast away. Bye-bye. Until next Sunday, you're Detlef.
We wanted it easy. We wanted it done. Too fast for the silence. Too fast to become. We traded the question for something that worked. Now meaning comes quicker, but somehow it hurts. The friction we forgot. Too fast to become. We wanted. For the silence, too fast to become. We traded the question for something that worked. Now meaning comes quicker, but somehow it hurts. The friction we forgot, too fast to become. We wanted all the answers before the soul had come. The friction we forgot, too fast to become. Maybe the weight became desire. Maybe the cracks that pull the strain were how we learned to feel the rain. Maybe becoming needs delay. And I'd a wound, a price to pay. Maybe a thought can't just arrive unless it hurts a bit to find. The friction we forgot, too fast to become. We wanted all the answers before the soul had come. The friction we forgot, too fast to become. We ran ahead of meaning, now we speak like everyone.
You have listened to Artitude, West Cork's first art, fashion and design podcast. Artitude, never so close again.
Ah!
That was too close.